You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
Meals are an amazing thing. Meals are an amazing thing if you think about it. They start relationships, right? The infamous first date. They end relationships. In fact, one celebration within the church itself called Viaticum, food for the journey, is the last experience of the Eucharist for a dying person. Meals are an amazing thing. They start and they end relationships. They can bring people together and drive people apart. Case in point, all brought together for this meal. Meals are an amazing thing, if you think about it. We have whole networks, television, dedicated to food. I'm still not quite sure how I feel about that, but I do think it's pretty fantastic. There's probably something to that. Seems to be of interest to none other than God, but I'll get back to that. Meals are an amazing thing. Amazing thing. It's just a plain fact. Every single one of us here, and every single human being on the face of the planet, has at least one thing in common. We all have to eat. We might add to that list, but it's amazingly practical. It's an amazing, obvious point that brings every single human being together on the planet. We have to eat. It's what we are, right? Like, we need to do that if we want to live. Meals are an amazing thing. I'm reminded, of course, of what happens in the case of a lack of food, a lack of meals. Done plenty of reading of prisoners released from concentration camps after the Second World War and the great lack of food that they endured for so long a period of time. They needed to eat. They needed to be nourished, woefully malnourished, many starved to death in the camps. And upon release, it's frequently documented that they and those trying to help them just fed them. They need food. Clearly they need food. Look at them. They're starving to death. They're way too emaciated, too skinny. Give them food. Give them food. This will, among other things, heal them, help them, make them whole. And those meals teach us a startling truth. Many of those individuals who were fed and fed and fed and fed, who obviously needed food and were fed and fed and fed, were not actually able to eat. They were not able to take in the food. They were not ready for those meals. In fact, Many of them died because of the sudden intake of food. There's a certain need to prepare, a certain kind of habit that we go about, a ritual, if you will, to eating, that they had become so unaccustomed to that they could no longer do it. Actually, I'm reminded even of a professor of mine as she worked in West Africa, mission work, and her and her team had come to be surrounded in a very unstable political environment. And while they were helping the people there, they realized that they no longer had access to their supply lines. They were cut off. So they realized that they had to ration their food. Simple enough, until help was able to come. And help eventually did come. They were escorted out safely. And upon arriving at camp, she tells the story of how they arrived and saw this great meal awaiting them, and everyone on her team gorged themselves because they were so hungry. They were starved. They wanted food. They saw this meal and they said, "Finally!" Wrapped it up with chocolate cake, and to the person, everyone at that meal got sick. They weren't ready. They couldn't receive that food. It was too rich for them. Too much. Meals are an amazing thing. An amazing thing. It seems that God is readily aware of that. Readily aware of how important meals are to us as people. So much so, if we think about it, in order for us to eat, something has to die. For the most part, what we eat means something gave up its life. Yes, fruits and vegetables, they are still living, right? Those cells, those living cells, we have to consume them. Whether it's grains in the field or cows in the pasture, in order for us to be here today, something had to die. Seems God is aware of this great mystery. How amazing and mysterious meals are. It seems very clear that God knows this. Today, our first reading, we hear the story of Elisha, great prophet, successor to Elijah. Great prophet in Israel. And he's faced with a challenge. Got to get this meal right. We've got 20 loaves and 100 people. 20 servings, but 100 mouths. The math isn't going to add up. Either 80 people aren't getting anything, or everyone's going to be a little bit hungry. And the simple truth that comes to us in that story, he communicates what God wants him to communicate to the people. Just distribute the loaves to them all. There will be enough. Remarkably similar to the gospel story today, is it not? That famous story told by all the gospel writers. Today we heard John's story. Jesus feeding the thousands with, practically speaking, nothing. A few loaves and a couple of fish. Not enough at all. In fact, if we're paying attention, I thought it a little odd that Andrew was willing to take those loaves and fish from a little boy. Right? Like, really, Andrew? Come on, you're stealing food out of a kid's mouth, right? It's a little odd. This is a sacrificial meal. Big time. But Jesus gives that same command that we heard in the first reading. Have them sit down, distribute the loaves, give them the food. Let them take it. Let them eat. Let's make this a meal. God knows how important meals are. And that same remarkable truth comes through in the story of Jesus that we heard in the story of Elisha. They're fed. There's enough. People eat and are satisfied. And not only is there enough, not only are people fed, not only was it the sacrifice of this one little boy that led to the feeding of so many, there's leftovers. An amazing truth, a fundamental experience that every human being on the face of the planet can in some way relate with. God knows that we have to eat. That seems remarkably mundane, if you will. But it brings us all together. Which was Paul's point in the letter to the Ephesians. We are one in faith, one in hope, one in our baptism, one in our call. Live up to that call, right? We're one. We're united together in all these different ways because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And that sounds wonderful. I'd love to think that. But if we look around here today, it can be a little, practically speaking, difficult to figure out what brings us here to get what do we have in common. God knows that we all have to eat and feeds us. And doesn't just feed us loaves and fish. But as we celebrate this Eucharist, we'll hear remarkably similar words, giving thanks, blessing, and breaking, as we come here together, we're fed God by God. What a beautiful, rich truth that we celebrate together, one and all, each time we come to celebrate the Eucharist.